This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Faisal Aziz of ABIM on the upcoming Dongzong gathering. And we've got a poll running on Twitter right now. How concerned are you about race relations in Malaysia today? But in the meantime, we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about the Malaysian economy in 2020. Because according to Economic Affairs Minister Dato Sri Azmin Ali, Malaysia will push for a realignment of the country's economy over the next 10 years.
As the old economic model of manufacturing commodity and labour-intensive operations would hamper future growth. Now, he noted that the country for decades had been dependent on manufacturing from investment abroad, which created jobs but failed to push for innovation and development of our own homegrown products. And now this dependence on manufacturing and commodity also has stifled salary growth and high-paying jobs. Yes, we know that basically wages haven't been rising enough to kind of cushion the rising cost of living in Malaysia, right? And there's also this issue about our jobs being low productivity, which is why people aren't earning enough.
Yeah, and then when you compare the when you look at the cost of living and you look at how housing prices have increased, and you compare that to income how incomes have risen, it doesn't match up, and it only increases the burden on cost of living.
Yeah, are we stuck, Malaysia, in just being a low wage nation? You know, are we moving up the value chain? And the question is, are we creating jobs which are going to be relevant in the next 20, 30 years? Or are we still having jobs now that with IR 4.0, automation, IoT will be redundant or honestly dinosaurs, you know, in 20, 30 years' time? Then what do we do as a country?
Yeah, so Dr. Sri Azmin Ali has said that all the initiatives to realign the country's economy will be outlined in the 12th Malaysia Plan from 2021 to 2025 and spill over into the 13th Malaysia Plan of 2026 to 2030, and that 56 billion ringgit will be allocated for the country's development expenditure in 2020 and be utilised for 5,466 development projects to generate some momentum and strengthen Malaysia's long-term economic capacity. But again, it comes down to what is the plan? You're saying that we're going to see a plan, but we haven't really seen a plan since Pakatan Harapan's come into power. What are the next economic drivers of this country going to be? Where are the new jobs going to come from? How is the next generation, not even my generation, but the next generation, going to get their income from?
Well, our minister has said that there will be deeper focus will be given to high growth sectors such as aerospace, electric and electronics, medical device production, machinery and equipment, as well as chemical and chemical products. Now, the question is, everybody else also wants these businesses in the region. We're not just the only ones that want to move up the value chain, that want to move along with IR 4.0. So what is the difference that we are going to bring to attract this FDI, this foreign direct investment, or to have even local champions set up factories? Are we having the right government policies, the right taxation, the right subsidy system? And even then, the right people? Are we educating them for these jobs?
And then on top of all of that, you see, we're in a region where we have to compete with the likes of Vietnam, which have been growing so strongly over the last few years. And if you look at Malaysia, and one of the biggest, I guess, headline issues is the lack of a succession plan. We've talked about this before. We've had a call about this, how that lack of clarity leads to policy uncertainty. And because if there's policy uncertainty, you're not going to get the big investments, the big bets from the overseas players or even locally. How are you going to, if you don't know what the next 2 years are going to look like, why would you invest for the next 10, 15, 20 years?
That's true, because when foreign multinational companies look at any country, they do this risk analysis, right? And they one of the scorecards or one of the things that they look at is political risk. So yes, they measure us, and then they give us a score, and then they do it the same for the rest of the region. So they choose a country based on political stability, economic outlook. You know, these questions come into play. So it's a competition. It's a beauty competition. And how do we attract this FDI is going to be, I think, a challenge in 2020 and 2021, you know. And we're not a very large population. We're only 32.6 million people. So we don't have the benefit of, you know, a lot of labour force. But then we also, as the country, need to move up the value chain. It isn't a case where we are so dependent on cheap labour. And in Malaysia, one of the issues has been, of course, foreign labour.
Yeah, and because we're an open economy and we don't have that same level of private consumption that you can depend on, like the likes of India and China and Indonesia can do. Because of that, we have to look overseas. We have to look at trade. And I mean, one of the things with the trade war has been that substitution effect or so-called substitution effect. But that's going to take a few years for it to truly come into place. And even then, are those the jobs that we want that are going to sustain over time?
Yeah, because you don't want just low-cost manufacturing jobs, right? You're talking about jobs which require high levels of productivity, of high levels of skill. But the question is, do we have the people to do these jobs? You know, because where has the education focus been? Yeah. But, you know, on the back of this, our minister still expects the economy to achieve a stronger and more sustainable GDP growth of 4.8% next year. He expects stronger macroeconomic fundamentals. Now, the point is, this outlook is actually much higher than what the International Monetary Fund is forecasting at 4.4% and even the World Bank at 4.5%. Now, Azmin has said that Malaysia's highly diversified economic and export structure, supportive labour market, low and stable inflation and strong and well-capitalised financial sector should continue to drive the economy going forward.
So he's citing the fundamentals here, but it's optimistic. It's 0.3% above the World Bank's estimate. It's 0.4% above what the IMF thinks. So does Dato' Sri Azmin Ali know something that we don't know about next year?
I think he's really banking on the rollout of the the big projects, the big infrastructure projects, right? Because those have multiplier effects. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, you're talking about the Pan-Borneo Highway, East Coast Rail Link, maybe Bandar Malaysia and the Gemas Johor Bahru Electric double-tracking project. The issue about all this is that it's once again pump priming. So are we using the old tools that we did to kind of push the economy in the 2000s and we're still looking at it in 2019? Because, you know, we are facing a fiscal deficit, right? And maybe sometimes do we really need all these infrastructure projects? That's the big question, which I think some economists have asked.
And the thing with these big projects is that, end of the day, where are the jobs going to go to? You're going into construction, you're going to end up with construction workers. And the thing is, in this country, we use a lot of immigrants in our foreign workings, and a lot of foreign workers in construction, in rubber gloves, a lot of
plantations.
So all of our big industries, where we are some of the biggest players on earth, are too dependent on foreign workers. And on July 18th, Home Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced the implementation of the Back for Good program, which would last from the 1st of August up till the end of the year, which is in a few days' time, as a part of measures to reduce the number of illegal immigrants in the country. So since earlier this month, the Immigration Department has seen huge crowds of people from Bangladesh, Indonesia, Myanmar, Indonesia, Cambodia and Nepal. However, despite being given an appointment date to return and complete the application process, many have refused to leave the compound, and this is because they fear that they may miss their chance to be repatriated under the program.
Now, the Back for Good program aims to save the cost of deportation management as well as curb health and social issues. Now, under the program, illegal immigrants are required to obtain complete identification documents from their embassies before handing them to the immigrant department for processing. They're also required to pay a compound of 700 ringgit for overstaying. Now, a total of 840,000 illegal immigrants were repatriated, and so far 400 million ringgit in compounds were collected under this program.
And Indonesians form the highest number at 50,000 people, followed by Bangladesh at 38,000, India at 23,000, and Myanmar at 7,000 people. And again, it goes to show the sheer number of foreign workers that we have in this country that are in all sectors, not just the big ones, but even F&B.
No, but what's shocking is these are illegal, right? I mean, how did they get into the country in the first place? Were the borders so border control so lax? I mean, how did it happen? Or were they legally here and then they just overstayed? And there doesn't seem to be any control in terms of rounding up or at least kind of finding out when their visas expired. What happened to them? There doesn't seem to be a monitoring process.
Yes, and on a slightly different note, the Immigration Department has not authorized the setting up of a volunteer unit to nab illegal immigrants, as announced by the Parti Bumiputra Perkasa Malaysia, otherwise known as Putra. This is because the handling of immigrants was the authority's responsibility and and not other organizations. And we're heading into a few messages right now. Up next, we'll be speaking to Professor James Dorsey of the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies for a review of the biggest news out of the Middle East this year. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.